Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Power and Instrumentation Gujarat Limited Q2 and H1 FY25 earnings conference call hosted by Kirin Advisors. As a reminder, all participants' lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Ganesh Nalawade from Kirin Advisors. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, and good afternoon, everyone. On behalf of Kirin Advisors, I welcome you all to the conference call of Power and Instrumentation Gujarat Limited. From management team, we have Mr. Padmaraj Pillai, Managing Director, and Mr. Rohit Maheshwari, CFO. With that, now I hand over the call to Mr. Padmaraj Pillai. Over to you, sir.
Greetings and good day to everyone. I really thank all of you for joining us on this call to discuss the performance of Power and Instrumentation Gujarat Limited for the first half of FY25. I'm very pleased to present our financial and operational highlights as well as the strategic initiatives for the continued growth and expansion that we planned for the company. Since our founding in 1975, we've earned a reputation as a very key player in the electrical contracting and equipment industry. Our unwavering commitment to excellence has allowed us to deliver top-tier electrical procurement and construction solutions across a broad spectrum of services. From installations to maintenance and to repairs and system upgrades, we cover every facet of electrical infrastructure with precision and reliability. Our comprehensive service portfolio includes end-to-end solutions for indoor-outdoor substations, transformers, diesel generating sets, power distribution panels, lighting systems, uninterrupted power supply system, access control system, and building management systems. This wide-ranging expertise enables us to meet the dynamic needs of our diverse clientele, which spans industrial, commercial, and government sectors. We take pride in our impeccable project execution and our commitment to timely completion, which has become a hallmark of our operations. In addition to our core EPC services, we provide an array of solutions that address contracting needs, industrial, commercial, electrical work, and critical backup power infrastructure. We serve a very wide spectrum of clients, including public sector undertakings, semi-government entities, central and state government bodies, telecom companies, healthcare facilities, leisure centers, and various other industries. We are working very closely with the best of the architects and consultants across the country, and we customize each project to align with our client's specific requirement, enhancing both functionality and sustainability. Our operational footprint covers the key regions throughout India. We work geographically across the country. We work in almost all the states across the country. In Rajasthan, we have a long-standing presence and a strong track record of successful projects. Most recently, we have expanded our operations in Himachal and resumed significant activity in Jharkhand, further cementing our presence in the eastern region with the ongoing projects in Assam. The strategic expansion allows us to bring our expertise in power generation, transmission, and distribution to a very wider client base, strengthening our regional impact and enabling us to better serve the varied needs of our client across the different sectors. India's power sector continues to experience transformative growth driven by the increasing electrification, renewable energy expansion, and supportive government initiatives. Solar energy capacity in the country has reached an impressive 85 gigawatts, highlighting the strides made in renewable energy development. This further is bolstered by the government schemes such as Deendayal Upadhyaya Gramin Jyoti Yojana, Ujjwal Discom Assurance Yojana, Integrated Power Development System, RDSS, which are significantly enhancing the electrification and power infrastructure across urban and rural areas. One of the landmark initiatives, Saubhagya, that is Pradhan Mantri Sahad Bijli Har Ghar Yojana, is making electricity accessible to every household in India. With an outlay of 16,320 crores, including gross budgetary support of 12,320 crores, the scheme focuses on providing the last-mile connectivity to electrify. Sorry. To unelectrify our households in both rural and urban areas, ensuring equitable energy access for economically disadvantaged communities. Another transformative program is the PM Surya Ghar Muft Bijli Yojana, which empowers households to harness solar energy by offering a 40% subsidy on the rooftop solar panel installations. This initiative aims to benefit more than 1 crore households nationwide and is projected to generate significant savings of around 75,000 crores annually for the government, underscoring the growing emphasis on the sustainable energy solutions. These government initiatives not only align with India's ambitious energy transition goals, but also opens up substantial opportunities for us, as our expertise in electrical EPC solution positions us to play a very critical role in supporting these programs. By leveraging our capabilities, we are well placed to contribute to the expansion of sustainable infrastructure and capitalize on the increasing demand of electrification and renewable energy solutions across the country. Just to highlight a few strategic milestones during this period, which would highlight our trajectory, we have taken a controlling stake in Peten Electrical Company Limited, allowing us to expand our manufacturing capabilities for electrical panels, compact substations and bus duct system. This acquisition strengthens our portfolio and enhances our capability to serve the key clients. In addition, we have successfully secured a substantial contract under the Mukhya Mantri Ujjwal Jharkhand Yojana, amounting to about 28.41 crore, focused on the electrifying rural households in Jharkhand's Saibganj district. We are proud to support the government's rural electrification initiative, and we bring to this project a proven track record of efficient execution, having delivered similar projects worth more than 200 crores in past. Further, bolstering our position in the airport infrastructure sector, we have recently appointed by Airports of India to manage the power supply systems for the new integrated passenger terminal building at Maharana Pratap Airport in Udaipur. Our recent contract at Sardar Vallabhbhai Patel International Airport with the Adani Group further cements our role in advancing India's infrastructure land space. I am pleased to report we have achieved a strong financial performance in quarter 2 and H1 of FY25 in the quarter FY25. Our consolidated total income reached 55.75 crores, reflecting an impressive year-on-year growth of 127.34%. EBITDA has increased to 6.04 crores, making a 108.86 year-on-year rise with a healthy EBITDA margin of 10.3%. Net profit for the quarter came in at 3.89 crores, representing an exceptional 180.11% year-on-year growth with a net profit margin of 6.98%. Additionally, our EPS rose by 146.79% year-on-year to 2.69 rupees. For H1 FY25, total income was 81.74 crores, growing by 75.34% year-on-year. EBITDA for the half year reached 9.69 crores, reflecting a 73.45% year-on-year increase and delivering an EBITDA margin of 11.86%. Net profit for half year was 5.76 crores, up by 140.72%, with a net profit margin of 7.04%. Also, our EPS rose by 110% to 3.99 rupees. This strong results underscore our operational excellence and strong financial health, positioning us well for a sustained growth. Looking ahead, we are exploring new avenues in solar EPC and battery energy storage systems as a part of our renewable energy initiative. With an increasing focus on R&D, we aim to introduce innovative products by FY25-26, staying at forefront of advancements in the energy sector. As demand for power continues to grow, PIGL remains dedicated to expanding its operational footprint, strengthening project execution capabilities, and positioning itself as a leader in the electrical contracting industry. Thank you once again for the continued support. I look forward to providing further insight in our progress during today's call. With that, I would like to open the floor for any questions you want to ask.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Participant, you may press star and one to ask a question. A reminder to all the participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. The first question is from the line of Aditi Roy from Patel Advisors. Please go ahead. Ms. Aditi, your line has been unmuted. Please go ahead with your question.
Now, am I audible?
Yes, ma'am.
My question is, how do you assess the impact of government initiatives like RDSA on your business growth?
Ma'am, could you speak again? Because you're not very clear. I could listen to the RDSS part and the next part, but initial one word is missing.
How do you assess the impact of government initiatives like RDSS on your business growth? How do you measure the impact of government initiatives like RDSS?
Okay. So ma'am, RDSS 1, 2, 3, 4, it's all going to follow one by one. The India right now, as we all know, that there's been such a huge growth in the generation side as far as the total generation is concerned in the past couple of years. There's a huge upgradation that is going on at all levels, that is right from distribution level to the transmission level. So basically, RDSS scheme aims at the criticality of the distribution where right now it's only a single line which is delivering to commercial, industry, as well as to the agriculture and everything. So basically, the plan is to segregate that. So once that happens, I mean, there's a lot of power saving that happens. So this initiative, which is there, done by the central government across the country. I mean, we are very well positioned right now to take as many as we want, and there is an amazing line of tenders which are there. In fact, there are a newness to the tender. There are a lot of other things which are happening, and all these places we are getting qualified directly. So it is a very interesting space that we are in right now, and this project will really, really boost our growth.
Okay, sir. And my next question is: can you provide an update on your geographical expansion plan?
See, Aditi, ma'am, the whole thing is that we have been constantly, I mean, from the time we started working, we've been constantly working across the country. I mean, we have, if you look at my geographical footprint, we work right from Kashmir to Kanyakumari, and we work right from Gujarat to Manipur. So, I mean, geographically, we are present everywhere. So, we don't have right now, as in the recent time, what we've done is that we have explored our, we put our foot in Himachal and Jharkhand. We have opened our account in Jharkhand. These are the two things that we are already doing. Rajasthan, we are present. Assam, we are there. Delhi, I'm already working. I'm working in Manipur. I'm working in Kerala. So, I mean, geographically, I'm there everywhere, and I'm ready to go everywhere.
Okay, so and my last question is, what opportunities do you see in India's solar EPC and BESS market?
So solar EPC, it is going to be a story which will be running and rerunning over it. And along with it, the BESS story, which has recently started, the battery energy storage system, that is going to be the next big game changer. Because now what has happened is that harnessing the sun has already been achieved, and now the modules that are available are coming with higher capacity. So at a smaller place, you can still install more. But what happens is that you harness the sun, but are you able to store it? So if you are able to store it, you can again reduce your dependency on the fossil fuels, you know, because in the night you can utilize the same thing. So looking at that, it is across the globe that everybody is looking at the battery energy storage system, and India is no newness. So definitely, I mean, it is going to be the next big market. So both of it is going to be run and breathe. I mean, it is going to be a continuous thing.
Thank you, sir. That is from my side, and congratulations once again.
Thank you, ma'am. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Priya Jain from Green Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello. So my question is, how do you view the EBITDA margin of 10.84% compared to the industry average?
Rohit, can you just answer this?
So, madam, the industry EBITDA is in EPC particularly lies between 10 to 12% only, and we are also in same line. So, we are slowly, gradually on quarter-to-quarter basis, we are trying to improve the same, as you can see from our results.
Yes, this is good to hear, sir. Okay, so I have one more question. So what steps are being taken to manage the interest burden given a slight decline in interest cost year on year?
So, madam, in order to reduce the finance cost, we are effectively utilizing the money, like Ideal Money has been parked to the interest-bearing account, so that necessary steps are taken to reduce the finance cost in terms of interest, like bank guarantee issuance charges, and we are continuously in touch with bankers to get the rates even reduced. So the better way to say is that we are effectively utilizing the money to reduce the finance cost.
Okay, so I have one more question. How does the company plan to maintain its growth trajectory in H2 FY25?
So, H2 FY25, as we have already stated, that we are seeing the growth of overall basis of 50% growth on a year-to-year basis, so which we may think we may achieve.
That's good to hear, sir. Great, and all the best. That's it from my side.
Thank you so much, madam.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Naina Jain from LK Capital. Please go ahead.
My question is, sir, can you explain the rationale behind the increased trade receivables and inventory levels?
So, madam, if you see the sales, it has been almost twice the last quarter, last year same quarter. Overall inventory days, if you see on a year-to-year basis, that has been reduced to an extraordinary level. Like for the same 31st March 2024, we had an inventory days of 120 days, which has been reduced to 78 days, and inventory days of 152 days, which has been reduced to 100 days. Now, the rationale behind rise in inventory is... As we are also doing some civil works for various projects, so the civil works is been built at the time when the work is been completed in entirely. So that is the main reason of rise in inventory by way of value. However, the days of the inventory has been reduced as compared to the last year.
So, sir, my next question is, how are you managing cash flow given the rising working capital requirements?
So, madam, rise in working capital requirement, madam, we are focusing more on receivables part. Like we are taking prompt actions on receivables, and we are effectively utilizing the inventories so that our cash flow is not being stuck at anywhere, and we are not stuck ultimately in running the business.
Okay, sir. So my last question is: what are the major operational challenges faced in your ongoing projects?
What are the challenges we are facing in the ongoing projects?
Yeah.
No, we're not facing any challenges. I mean the work are going on smooth. Absolutely. I mean, there is no issue. The government is very supportive. The government wants the work should be finished on time. So, I mean, the push is there, the thrice is there. So, it's the work are going on, absolutely. Except for, yeah, the geographical reasons, I mean, the rains and everything, that has been always there. So, otherwise, we're not looking at any kind of issues right now.
Great, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Rachna Sharma from HNI. Please go ahead.
Hello. Am I audible?
Yeah, you're audible.
First of all, thank you so much for providing me this opportunity. My first question is, what risk do you foresee with the evolving regulatory framework in the power sector?
In the evolving regulatory?
Yeah, regulatory framework.
Regulatory framework you're talking about, frame.
Yeah.
Yeah. So ma'am, actually the latest whatever notifications which have come out or whatever regulations, I mean the upgradation which has been done is very, very supportive. It's very, very supportive. In fact, it is going to boost the business. And there's nothing negative about it because if the government has started understanding that the criticality, I mean, how critical is electrical connection and how critical it has to be and safety and everything has to be taken care of. So it is definitely just going to add to the complete social responsibility of each and every one of us. So we as a company, we have always focused upon safety, and we've always been, you know, very focused on that point, that there should be no kind of any this thing. So in fact, for us, it's a booster.
Okay. And so
it seems like our current participant got disconnected. Ladies and gentlemen, you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Sheikh Ahmed from Deva. Please go ahead.
Hello. Greetings, sir. My question is, as an EPC contractor in distribution and transmission substations, what are your major works? Are you taking including all civil and electromechanical works, or only you are doing the MEP works and installation of the equipment? And also the procurement of the equipment will be your scope of work, or it will be directly given by the clients?
Okay, Mr. Ahmed, I'll explain this to you. See, normally what happens is whenever you're creating a substation, I mean, there are minor civil works. Minor civil works means there'll be the boundary wall, the landfilling, there'll be a control room, there'll be trenches to be built. So these civil works we do take up as a part of the electrical. So normally it will be like 20% of civil and 80% of electrical. So as far as the substation is concerned. I mean, as far as the lines are concerned, or the transmission side is concerned, or the distribution lines are concerned, again, when you're erecting the poles, I mean, for the transmission or you're erecting the towers, I mean, there are foundations that are to be built, which are to be made. So those foundations are made by us. So anything that's pertaining to electrical, the civil portion which is there, we do take care of. I mean, the mechanical part also, like for, as I told you, in the substation that we create, I mean, there are certain mechanical portion also which is to be done. Like, maybe you have a small drainage system or a small something, you know. So those things we take up. So our primarily. For coming back to your next line of question, we only take up projects that include material. We do not take up labor projects. We are very specific about it. We do work only with complete supply of equipment.
Okay. And my next question is, are those sites will be given by the client, or you have to identify the sites for the construction of this substation? And mainly you are dealing with the distribution or transmission substation?
Okay. So basically the location and the land is given by the government. I mean, from the DISCOM or from the whatever is the body there, they identify the land and they give us the land to us. We only build the complete substation on that portion. I mean, like, you know, we don't have to procure land, or we don't have to go find the land or anything like that. It is already there. It is already marked. I mean, every city, every village, the town planning has already marked, like, in future if there is an expansion, this is the area where things are to be done. That land has already been allocated. So the DISCOM just takes the land from the local body, and then it hands it over to us. We build a complete substation and then we hand it over to them. So this is the first part of your question which I answered. Point number two is that we are doing both. We are doing transmission substation also, and we are doing distribution substation also.
Okay. And how do you see the growth of the company in coming years? Because now the government focus is mainly on the power sector. So being a small based company, are we seeing major projects to come in the future, and can we grow in a multifold way?
So absolutely we see ourselves growing at multifold, because of the kind of work that is coming in. Like, for example, Rajasthan just launched almost about 25,000 crores of electrical works. Very recently they have published about 25,000 crores of work. Similar is the case with UP, similar is the case with Bihar, Maharashtra. I mean, you talk about Gujarat, any state that talk about, you know, oddity, if you look at the tender system right now, you'll find about 2,000-3,000 crores of tender being floated in every quarter or every half year. So I mean, there's a fantastic opportunity for us to grow. But then, yes, the growth has to be sustainable. That's what I've always believed in. And I've always believed that, you know, sustainability means that you're able to execute the project. It should not be you just take up a project and you keep lying down on it. So what we aim to do is that we aim to grow at a very, very good speed. But then make sure that we grow at that speed which is really sustainable. And we grow at a pace where we We don't have our clients coming back to us and complaining or something like that. We want everybody to have a win-win situation. So that's what we are planning for. But you will definitely see us grow multiple, that's for sure.
Thank you. That's it for my answer. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Participant, you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Aniket from Obliqu. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, Pillai, sir.
Good afternoon, Aniket. How are you?
Good. Congrats on a fantastic set of numbers.
Thank you. It's all blessings of the people.
Absolutely. I'm proud to be associated with the company. My question is that in the last con call, I had read, and correct me if I'm wrong, that come October, November 2024, our company is going to start bidding projects upwards of 150 crores to 300 crore range. So am I right? And has that process been started?
No, that was FY25. You heard me wrong, not FY24.
Okay. Got it. So, okay. My bad. Okay, fine. Okay, and currently, what's the kind of order pipeline, order book we have and current order book in hand?
Current order book is 350 crore plus. And in pipeline, we have almost quoted tenders worth about another close to 300 odd crores.
Okay, got it. Okay, thank you.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. You may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Amit Koridia from World Food. Please go ahead.
So I quickly wanted to understand on what is the success rate in the past for the bid versus success that we'll get the percentage. And this 350 crore is to be done in 24 months. Is that right?
It's all partial. Some are to be completed in this financial year. Something is for 24 months. Something is for 12 months. It's all a mixed bag of it. So we're working on the same way. Whatever the timeline, we are focusing on the timelines. Like for example, the Ahmedabad Airport project has to be completed by January. So that entire work has to be completed. Then, RDSA, if we talk about RDSA, will be completed by November 2025. The Mukhyamantri Yojana that we're doing in Jharkhand has to be completed by December 2025. So it's like, 12 months, 18 months, 24 months, it's all a combination of it.
Got it. And what is the past success ratio on our tender win rate? On the 300 crore that new bidding, what do we expect to get in for us?
So actually, Mr. Choradia, I would put this, I think I've answered this question before also. See, in case of tendering, what happens is there is nothing called a appreciated success rate, It's basically like, at a time when you are sitting on orders, you would want to increase your margins. So, you would take an opportunity of quoting better rates and, making sure even if I get one tender out of that, I'm more happy taking one tender at a good margin than taking two tenders at a little low margin. Because right now I'm sitting on a good order book. So, I will have to now focus on my EBITDA and my PAT instead of just on my top line. So, that is where I always say that there is no sure shot percentage or, sure shot, economics as it works out to what would be the hit ratio actually.
Got it. And on the BESS, what part do we want to take up? Because it is a big vertical and a lot of companies want to enter this space. So what is your aspiration personally to which part do we take up and build on?
So I am interested in BESS also as an APC contractor to provide that complete solution on turnkey basis. So we have been in discussions with a couple of companies who provide the solution. So we want to tie up with them and come out with this thing where we can be complete turnkey for, the end user.
Okay. Got it. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Tara Kosh from VY Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello. Am I audible?
Yeah, you are. Please go on.
So my question is, are there plans to expand your service offerings beyond the current segment?
Pardon me, ma'am, you'll have to repeat again.
Yeah. My question is, are there plans to expand your service offerings beyond the current segment?
So currently, see, if you look at our industry, it majorly consists of three portions: generation, transmission, and distribution. We're already there in transmission and distribution. Obviously, we'll look into the generation also, definitely. I mean, where we can take up clunky projects for the generation part also. That's definitely going to be the next thing. Once we are through with our transmission part, we're definitely moving into that. So there'll definitely be more services that'll be added. I mean, and a lot of things that we're working on. So let time come, we will reveal.
Hello?
Yes, ma'am. I hope.
Yes, sir. Also, my next question is, what benefit do you anticipate from the acquisition in terms of improving supply chain efficiency and sourcing materials or resources internally?
In terms of the manufacturing part, you're talking about the outsourcing that we do. I mean, is that what you're asking me?
Yeah.
So we are substantially going to increase the production also. We're substantially going to increase the production also. I mean, looking at whatever, there are a couple of products in development. Once that comes into picture and that comes into play, we'll have an upper edge definitely in the market.
Okay, sir. And so my last question is, are there any plans to expand beyond India, like internationally?
If given an opportunity, why not? I mean, definitely. I mean, why not? I mean, why restrict yourself to just being a domestic player? You can as well be a global player. But the opportunity has to be right. The timing has to be right. The profits have to be right. I mean, just not for the reason of just wanting to go global. That's all.
Okay. So thank you so much. And that's it from my side.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, you may press star and one to ask a question. A reminder to all the participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Pratik Chaudhary from Samartha Capital. Please go ahead.
Sir, this year we are targeting 50% growth, more or less. Is it safe to assume that next year FY26 would also be something similar in terms of growth percentage?
Yes, we do. Absolutely, we do want to do that. We want to get those numbers. We want to get those EBITDA. We want to get those facts. Definitely. I mean, and we are working really hard towards it.
So 50% growth over FY25 is reasonably achievable in FY26.
Yes, it is.
Okay. And you also mentioned that there is an order pipeline of 300 crores. You know, I think this last time you had said only 8,200 crores. So So basically 200 crores additional orders you've probably bid for in that time, in the last...
No, actually the 1800 crores that we talked about last time, couple of them have opened. We did not get those tenders. So we bidded for more of it. New packages that have come in, they are yet to be opened.
They are yet to be opened, you said?
Yeah, they are yet to be opened.
And when is the bidding expected to take place? For 300 crores?
I think the opening somewhere from, I think by 15th or 20th of December onwards. I mean, most of them are going to open in this after December 20th.
Okay. And the results would be awaited by what time? By which month?
Normally what happens is that it takes about a month because they open up the technical first.
Then they go through the technical, which takes about 15-20 days. Then the query is, I mean, whatever, there's a shortfall of documents that comes to us and all that. So probably by, we can anticipate somewhere in January, we'll get proper, I mean, like, you know, the financial bits to be opened.
Okay. And you, next year or next FY, do you expect our order book, unexecuted order book to cross 500 crores at say some point in the year?
No, because I would be completing a lot of work by that time. So, you know, the containment would be that, see, what happens is that year on year, if you're looking at a certain target, you know, we would do the order booking accordingly, because the execution becomes a very critical part. Because it cannot be that I take up an order book. Because see, as I told you, there's all very between, I mean, the time of execution is anywhere from 6 months to 24 months. You know, so if supposedly I back 3 projects of 6 months, then they have to be done immediately. I mean, if it's a 24 month, then you have the, you know, the cushioning available with you for the time factor. So based on that, we calculate ourselves and we make sure that, you know, that is the kind of order book that should be in our hand. That we should be able to, you know, do what goals we are trying to achieve.
Right. And elaborating on one of the participants' earlier question, where you said that you might get into turnkey projects on the generation side as well. Is this more to do with the solar EPC? Is that what you meant? Or this is
so even for that reason, BESS is a part of it. Even the BESS is a part of it. Because ultimately you're storing power and then you're giving it back. So it's again generating it. So it's a part. BESS also becomes a part of it. Solar is a part of it. I mean, so all of this, whatever it is a part of the generation part only.
Right. Oh, understood, sir. Thank you, and I'll get back in with you.
Yeah.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, you may press star and 1 to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Abhay Sharma from JC Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello, I'm audible?
Yes, you are audible.
So my question is, how are you positioning the company to benefit from India's transition to smart grids?
India's transition to the smart grid. So are you talking about the smart metering and all?
Yes, sir.
So, see, we did quote a few tenders in the past, but right now, if you are aware of it, I mean, the government has put a hold on a lot of things in the smart grid space. Right now, the major concentration is going on in the distribution and the transmission sector. So, first we'll encash that and then move over forward looking at the opportunity what comes with the market.
Okay, sir. So next question is, could you provide an overview of the demand trends in the transmission and distribution sector?
I would say that the last time we had a meeting of the contractors meeting we had, in which the power minister was available. I mean, the outlay of funds that they are talking about is almost close to, in next 5 years, they are all talking about deploying about 30 to 35 lakh crores for the power infra. So, I mean, considering that every year almost it is like, you know, 8 to 10 lakh crores of work will come up. So, I mean, we can look at the substantial growth that will happen in the market.
Okay, sir. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Participant, you may press star and 1 to ask a question. The next follow-up question is from the line of Amit from World Food. Please go ahead.
So now that we have a buffet of orders to pick from for FY26, what kind of operating margins do you expect, one or through economies of scale also, and now that we are bidding for projects where margins are higher? So from this 11%, what should we move on to for FY26?
See, I would be definitely aiming at moving it towards another 2-3% at least, bare minimum. And that is the reason why I said, when somebody asked me about the order booking or whatever, so I said that now is the time where, like, you know, I sit down, consolidate, you know, try and get a better EBITDAs and better PATs, you know. This is the right time to do that. So that is where we are aiming at. So let's see how much improvement we can do.
All right. So FY26, around 13-14% is what we are aiming at.
And we definitely want to do that. We definitely want to do that.
Yes. And H2 would be stronger than H1 always because of that you have to complete orders by 31st March. I mean, that's the trend in all the EPCs, correct?
Yeah, that is a general trend in all the EPCs. But now what has happened is, very honestly telling you, now what has happened is that with the advent of all this fundings and with this with the government, central government initiatives and all that, I mean, every quarter turns out to be as pressureful as it is in the end. Earlier time is definitely used to be that the fourth quarter used to have a big jerk because of the reason that, you know, the whatever money is left, the government wants to do the spending to get the GDP right. But now, right now, it is like they're positioning all the quarters equally. So, I mean, it is not that now, I mean, that is going to be the trend. It is going to be now quarter on quarter only. I mean, so it is going to be the same way what you've seen now.
Got it. It's a great problem to have. Good. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, you may press star and one to ask a question. A reminder to all the participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. As there are no further questions from the participants, I now hand the conference over to Mr. Ganesh Nalavade for closing comments.
Thank you everyone for joining the conference call of Power and Instrumentation Gujarat Limited. If you have any further queries, you can write us at research@kirinadvisors.com. Once again, thank you everyone for joining the conference.
Thank you. On behalf of Kirin Advisors, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.
Thank you all. Thank you so much for joining. Thank you.